Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show on Blog Talk Radio. Today's December 23rd, 2009. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And tonight we're coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio. Our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And tonight we have a fantastic show for you. We'll be talking with Mr. Jerry Lynch from Gary, Indiana. And he has an autobiography called Where Is Daddy? And we'll be talking about him and his life and what he's doing now. And I'd like to welcome in my co-host right now at this time. How are you doing, Boyd?
What's happening, Miss Lucinda? We are chilling, and we are about to get the show started. We're about to get started with my man Jerry Lynch, like she said, out of Gary. And a young man who's done been through some things and ready to tell his story and do his part, you know, and he's already doing his part in the community, you know, and to tell the world about his change. So I just want to say, hey, what's happening, my man Jerry, and welcome to the show, my man.
I'd like to thank you for inviting me to the show and seeing my vision.
Right. That's a beautiful thing, man. So you can introduce yourself to the public.
Okay. First of all, my name is my government name, Jerome Lynch. The streets know me as Jerry Lynch, Lynch Mob.
My man.
You know, I've been in the streets all my life. My father was a kingpin in the city, and he taught me to don't follow in his footsteps. He put a lot of my friends and and a lot of people I know in a position to make money in a dope game. But he always told me, Jerry, this ain't for you. I'm not going to put you in this. And I was always upset, like, seeing my partners like, dog, you sitting on keys, you sitting on pounds, this and that. My daddy put you on. I'm like, daddy, why you put me on? Daddy put me on. And I love my father for that. After seeing all of that go down, man, I've been a fireman for 14 years. I've been coaching Little League Baseball for 12 years. I've been giving basketball tournaments at the high school that I attended, which I do a fundraiser, for 4 years. I give back to the community. So my name is out there in the streets here in Gary, Indiana. Everybody knows Lynch Mob.
My man. So what I want to ask you, Jerry, you know, how did you get involved with, you know, the street life? You know, you said Dad didn't want you in it, but what made Dad keep you away from that life?
I'm going to tell you the way I got involved in it. I watched how my pops put people in situations to make it happen, and I was always easing my way through the door. He's sleep. You dig what I'm saying? I'm picking up his keys. I'm taking his car. I'm making runs. I'm picking up his packages and everything. And you know what I'm saying? That's how it started.
My man. You
That's
know,
how it
and what once Dad seen that in you, you know, what made Dad say, look, man, that is not for you, and I'm not going to have you out here acting like this?
Actually, man, that, to be honest, that happened. Me and my father didn't get cool until I was 25 years old. I'm 40 now.
Right.
And I was seeing the dope game all my life. Like, he was in and out of my life. I always wondered, why my daddy ain't in my life? Why my daddy don't want to be around me? This and that. And I kept hearing people saying, your daddy, he's a plug. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That happened for a reason. He told me, Jerry, I'm doing this because I always wondered why he was never there for me. But all the time, he was there for me financially. But physically,
right.
He had to be. He was always on the run from the feds and escaping, you know what I'm saying, 5-0.
Right.
So
doing his thing.
Right, he was doing his thing. So he let me know, let me do this. Let me do this. This ain't you. Everybody ain't in a position to sit up. Because like he said, live. You be true to the game be true to you. A lot of these dudes ain't true to the game. They be true to, they say they true to the game, but once they get popped, they snitching.
Right, they already done told on somebody.
Right, my pops, his name in the streets run 1,000. And so he let it be known to me, Jerry, let me run these streets. He put the demonstration down for me. My name was already out there, and everybody just automatically thought, okay, your daddy did this. You're going to be that same way. No.
Right.
It didn't happen like that.
My man, my man. And I know you're glad that God intervened on that, and even though you and Dad wasn't cool till you got 25, you got to respect that he didn't even want you in that lifestyle.
Oh, that's my ace. That's my ace. I love him like my mother. My ace.
Right, no doubt, man. So you got kids, Jay?
I got 2 kids. My daughter is 6. My son is 10. My son, 10 years old, man, his name is ringing in the streets right now.
My man.
He's a baseball star. Everything I've done, I put into him. I spent all of my time with him. And a lot of young guys, not even young guys, a lot of guys fail to realize you have to break the cycle.
Right.
My daddy did what he had to do. You got a lot of guys that's not selling drugs, that's not on the run from the police. A lot of these brothers still don't want to spend time with their kids. So
right.
I broke the cycle. Hey, son, I wanted to be a baseball star when I was growing up. I was a hell of a baseball player.
I want to stop you for 1 second on that, Jay. Man, don't you know, I loved the baseball growing up in the city of Detroit, man. And one thing, that was my dream to become a baseball player because I could play any position, man. I could hind, catch, first, second, third, outfield, shortstop, bat, you name it. I could make it happen on that field. But by my life being so into the streets, man, you know, I started in the street world at 9 years old when I seen my daddy get murdered, my stepfather. So I've been in the street there since I was 9 years old, man, you know. So I can relate to that trying to get out, you know.
Right, and I'm glad you said that because my name got out there being a baseball coach for 12 years, and I've been coaching baseball before I had kids. Man, believe it or not, the Roosevelt High School, that's the school that Michael Jackson went to. The principal of that school put his name out in the streets and was looking for me. And word got back to me, hey, Jerry, the Roosevelt principal wants you to be the high school baseball coach. I'm like, man, you playing. You know, my guy was like, Jerry, I'm serious. He's been doing his homework on you. He's been seeing that you've been giving back to the youth for 12 years coaching Little League Baseball. And I went up to the school and met him. He said, I want you to be my high school baseball coach.
By me working on the
fire department Monday through Friday, I always had my assistant coach, my brother, Kevin Bradley. You know what I'm saying? I said, my brother Kevin, he works. You know how the fire department works. One on, two off, different cities.
Right.
I said, I'm gonna tell you like this: since you've been looking for me, I'm gonna create a job for my brother.
My man.
Make him the head coach, and make me the assistant coach.
There it is.
do that, show me the paperwork. Let's sign the paperwork right now.
And my man.
He said, you know what? It's a wrap. Let's do it.
My man. And see, that was a blessing, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, we like that, man. And, you know, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're kicking it with my man, Jerry Lynch, out of Gary, Indiana. We're going to go to a song. We're going to come back with my man, Gary, and we're going to continue, you know, his journey. And we'll be right back after we play this song, The Streets Don't Love You Back. We'll be right back with Mr. Lynch.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with The Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love if you want to. But know these streets, they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Because the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, but join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love
yeah,
if
yeah.
you want.
This track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that can live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is chess, I gotta go and get a get. Got key caught up in moving shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born, we all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together, we can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if you cry, but I hate it when you whine. And if all the truth is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time, but maybe it's enough. But if it's not, then let me know, cause I feel like I'm on bus. I'm overstuffed with propaganda, this is slander and lies. Tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise. Cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body. You can see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and find out how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid. I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead. Cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head. Cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals so you never stray away. Let the past be the past and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
now
on.
Now this RB checking back in with you, like I said, it's that trap of knowledge. Let you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB.
In these streets,
Love. One. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Hey, hey, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And that's a track by me and my homeboy LD. The Streets Don't Love You Back, and we're kicking it right here, like I told you, with my man Jay Lynch. Jay, I want to get right into it, man, and ask you, you know, tell us a little bit more about your childhood, man. Did you ever get into some incidents, man, that almost stopped your career or different things like that?
Yeah, I got into some situations, man. I was involved in the retail game. You dig what I'm saying? We was stealing cars, retagging cars, and everything. I got involved in that, and, you know, that got to the point where when I first got on the fire department, and I ain't ashamed to say this because, you know, Allah helped me escape this. I was in a situation, you know, me and my guys, we jumped from dope game to the retail game. You know, we started retagging cars, boom, selling cars. Boom. I got called up. Boom. Police pulled me over. He like, hey, man, we ran this car, this and that. I'm like, man, my guy bought me this car, bought me this car. You dig what I'm saying? I ran a demo to him, but it didn't work. But I flashed that fire department demonstration on him, and he let me ride with that. All the time, I went to jail, but he let me out on the strength that I was a fireman, man. He saw that I was so honest with him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what went down, man. And my whole life changed in 1991 when, you know, when I joined Nation of Islam.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that situation, man, I mean, that could have cost you your whole career then, you know, trying to be involved with anything, you know, far as getting caught up in the streets.
With anything, man, because like I said, I got 14 years on the job, and I can take people back. I got a lot of people that look at me, they're on the outside looking in. I've never been a major figure that sold keys, sold pounds, but at the same time, I was sitting right there with those guys doing that. And I
you could have got called up.
I could have got called up, but I never sat up there and did the same thing. I just sat up there and just drunk some beers with them. But I always told them, man, we can make this big. We can do better than this, man. We can change the community, man. We can change the youth because everybody look at us. And
right.
like I said, I want to do a documentary. And when I thought about a documentary, I spent a lot of money with Black Star Video out of New York.
Right.
And
right.
I'm getting ready to spend money with you because a lot of people sit up here and say, I had a few people tell me, well, Jerry, how can you do a documentary on a person that's not really a major figure, like Rick Ross, this and that. You know what I told them? I said, you know what, man? A real documentary is about a person that's been through the struggle, that escaped everything that the white man tried to do to you, and you change your life.
Right, and you hit it right on the head, Jerry. It's not about because you wasn't a major figure, you know what I mean? Your story is about that you could have got caught up with the major figures by sitting around, drinking beer with them and kicking it with them. You could have been on a conspiracy tip and not even sold not nothing, you feel me? Just
exactly.
Being there, you know? So you opening up people's eyes that you can't be even sitting around a cat that's doing that, you feel me? Because once they come, it's game over, lights out.
Right, because I had a guy call me one day talking about, hey, Jerry, who got to work? I said, you. You're not going to call me and get me caught up on conspiracy. You got to work. Right. If you didn't know where I was coming from, you got to work. Don't call me on the phone with none of that.
Right.
I ain't
because, you know, the people ain't looking at, you know, because there's a lot of cats that I knew coming up in the lifestyle that only got caught with money. I know a homeboy of mine, a real close associate of mine, he got caught up back in the day, and he only got caught with $180,000 cash, no drugs, no nothing. He ended up serving 12 years. So a lot of times you ain't got to have no drugs, man. You know what I mean? You ain't
right.
got to have no money half of the time. If you involved with conspiracy, you know, and if anybody know the law, the federal government can throw that conspiracy on you, man, and you can end up doing life on a conspiracy case.
Right, because I got partners right now, man, doing life on conspiracy. I got partners right now, man. I got so many stories that I want to just reach out to the streets, man, and I'm going to do that through you because, like I said, man, it's not about what you hold, what you had in life as far as financial things. It's about how you change your life around. That's what really...
That's the bottom line. You know, like me and you said earlier, God ain't looking at because you had $1 million or $1 million home. God looking at the works, man. He looking at the works you do. You know, if you can touch one person's heart and bring one person towards his camp, that's all he's concerned about. He ain't concerned about the $1 million house, the cars, or none of that. You know what I mean? So that's what people got to wake up and learn. You know, at what you finna do is tell your story in your way. You know what I mean? And your story might touch some people, you feel me, that said, wow, I can relate to my man Jerry because he wasn't no major figure, but he knew people, and he could have been sitting right there with them and up in the joint somewhere without no job, no none, just a man who's sitting on the dock of the base, you know what I mean?
Exactly, because I had so many people call to me like, man, like I said with this baseball demonstration. Man, I was coaching baseball before, like I said earlier, I was coaching baseball before I had kids.
Right.
I got the love for baseball, and I got the love to give back to the community.
Right.
And a lot of
and
people,
that's a
beautiful
lot of people, thing, man.
Right. A lot of people on the outside looking in, man, they think that you have to be a major, real major figure in order to be successful in life. You don't have to be a major figure to be successful in life. You got to be a giving person.
Right,
and that,
right.
And that,
you have to be a person that know how to give. You feel me? And all the time, it ain't about giving nothing material. It's about giving knowledge the majority of the time, and knowledge take people a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can give a person $5. They only going to eat for a day. But if you teach a man how to fish, he going to eat for a lifetime, you know? So
right.
It's about the knowledge, you feel me, and what you're trying to proceed out here in this life. So, yeah, we really loving that, man, you know what I mean? And I'm going to turn the mic over to my wife, Lucinda, and she's going to ask you some things, Jerry. And, you know, once again, it's great having you on the show, man. And, you know, me and my wife look forward to working with you and your missus as well. And I'm going to turn the mic over to my wife.
Okay.
Hi, Jerry. Again, thanks for coming on the show. It's real exciting to get a chance to talk to you and learn a little bit more about your life.
Okay.
How old were you when you got involved in the street life?
13.
And was it because you saw your dad doing what he did, or it was just something that everyone you hung out with at that time was doing it?
I saw my father doing it, and I saw people that I grew up doing it. So
right.
that's what really made it happen.
Okay. You mentioned... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You interview me. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I want to hear all about you.
Actually, I was going to say, you know, I've been around a lot of people that's been a major figure in their game. And I've never been a major figure in that game. And a lot of people really, they were like, Jerry, you always around all of these guys that's really in the big picture, that's really doing it.
Right.
Why you, Why haven't you been to jail? I said, I hang with them. But, like I said, my father, he really told me a long time ago, I don't want you to do this. So I let my friends do it, and I've been around them, and it wasn't meant for me. But I've been around people breaking down keys and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you're not lucky, but blessed that you weren't one that you know is doing life in prison, because, as you know, in the game, most of the people are going to end up either dead or, you know, for life in prison.
Yeah, dead.
So the ones that are blessed and the ones that are still here to be able to tell the stories, you know, it's just awesome to be able to hear those stories and what you had to live through and go through and get through to get where you are today.
Yeah, because I think it's honestly, to be honest with you, to be in the position that I'm in, I'm blessed to give the story for these guys.
Right.
I want to help put their documentary together and change these kids' lives.
Right. And that's what we're trying to do with our movement is just, you know, take everything that we've learned and the people that we're working with and, you know, everything that has happened and to try to reach out here to the kids nowadays and to be the example. And hopefully some of them will listen through our experiences and not have to go through, you know, what some of you guys went through, you know, out in the streets and living that kind of life. You know, but then again, there's, you know, some kids out here that are going to just have to learn the hard way because that's what they're going to have to do.
Right. Like I was telling your husband, when I went on Rick Ross' page, on his Facebook page, I posted the affidavit about the, you can go to Google and type in GI Boys, Columbus, Ohio. You can Google Jacoby Walker, Mike Mason, Cary, Indiana.
Right.
I ran with those guys 24/7, but, you know, with the blessings of Allah and God, I was able to sit, like I said, I was able to sit there and watch them do their thing. And with Jacoby, they gave him life.
Right.
He wasn't even a major figure, so I want to do major documentaries on my friends, like my cousin, LC, Orlando Lynch, from Delaney Projects. I want to do so many documentaries on guys that got dealt a bad hand.
Right.
At the same time, teach the youth, you ain't got to sell drugs. And
exactly.
One thing that I didn't mention, I grew up at the age of 13, I joined Gangster Disciples under Larry Hoover.
Right.
Under Larry Hoover. Everybody that sees me and Gary, Indiana, they're like Jerry Folks. That's what we call Disciples, Folks. No,
right,
Jerry wasn't Folks. Jerry ain't Folks.
Hey, Jerry, we have a couple of callers. So let's, if the callers would just be patient with us here, we'll get to both of you that we have on so far. But we'll go ahead and take a call and see if they have a question or a comment for you.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yo, hello.
Hello, you're on the Streets Don't Love You Back show.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm surprised that you got me on the air. I was just listening, and I heard this portion of it. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in Detroit. I grew up around the game. You know what I'm saying? Even though I particularly did not get involved into the game until, you know, I was one of them, what you call them, late bloomers that didn't start, they didn't know nothing about crack or selling drugs, but I was almost 30 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I was one of those square kids, you know what I'm saying, that grew up in a good family. My father was in the game, but my mother wasn't. She didn't raise us that way, you know. And but, you know, I grew up around it. I grew up around everybody, Detroit, you know, coming up on the west side of Detroit, Highland Park. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of things that I learned over the years, you know what I'm saying, through my own drug dealing, through my own drug usage, my drug addiction. You know, it's a lot that I learned. And I know that if we don't grab these kids today, they lost, you know, because they weren't raised the way we was raised. You know what I'm saying? We was raised to withstand anything, to go through any storm. These kids can't, they can't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They fall apart so quick, so soon, and they hit rock bottom. I mean, I was seeing a young, 20 years old out there on the street. You know what I'm saying? Come from selling to using. You know?
Right.
And we just got to do something, you know? And the black community has to come together. You know? It ain't just the Nation of Islam and organization like that. Everybody got to step up. You know what I'm saying? Baptists, Protestants, the Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody got to step up. You know what I'm saying? Because these are all our children out there, no matter what your background is. You know what I'm saying? Being black, being white. But right now, you know, in the city of Detroit, you know, it's the suburbs that suffer. You know?
Right.
You know, you got methamphetamine that's running the suburbs ragged. You know what I'm saying? You got more foreclosed homes and Sterling Heights and Warren, Michigan, than you got in Detroit.
Can I ask him one question?
Yes.
That's real, my brother. You know, and we glad that you are listening in tonight, and we definitely glad that you're speaking out, you know, and we would definitely like when you get through listening to the show, go join our movement page at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubacknamed.com as well. And we was on the air tonight talking to Mr. Jerry Lynch, and if you would like to ask Mr. Lynch a question tonight, you know, we would definitely like for you to go ahead and do that.
Well, you know, I got an organization right now, it's just on, I call it just on paper, a group on MySpace called the Young Poets Incorporated. You know what I'm saying? And what it derives from my friendship with young men like myself who have belonged to the Young Boys Incorporated. Majority of all my friends at the age of 14, 15 was already big ballers in Detroit. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and I grew up with these guys. I grew up playing ball with, riding big wheels with. You know?
Right.
At the age of 15, pushing a Benz, pushing a Cadillac, you know what I'm saying? Up in the 21 and over clubs, ain't number 14, 15 years old. So,
right.
And what I like to do, I got this organization, and it's geared towards the youth, but, you know, some of everybody don't join it on MySpace, you know? So, you know, right now I got 135 members. I'm trying to push a Facebook group just the same. And what I want to do is bring it to life. I want to bring it off the Internet onto the streets. You know, because it's for anybody that's doing anything positive for the arts, whether you rap, whether you do music, whether you dance, we don't care whether you're a drafting student, a mechanical engineering student. It's for everybody. You know, it's one central organization, and the whole purpose of it is uplifting our youth.
My man. Hey, Jerry.
I got a good answer for him.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I got a good answer for you. You talked about how many people you got strong, but here's the thing. You sound like you're a leader, and I like that in you.
I ain't never been a follower. You know, if I was a follower, I'd have been right along with my friends, 14 feet, 10 years old out there. You know what I'm saying?
Let me finish, brother. You called in to get some advice, so be patient with me.
Okay. I'm not immune from the streets. I'm a victim, too, girl. I've been out there myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't believe what I saw growing up. And I went to the military 6 years in the Air Force College, and then I decided to sell drugs. You know? You don't see, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like I didn't believe what I saw.
You know what I would do if I was you? The high school that you went to, the community that you are involved in, that you're around, do some fundraisers and give back to the kids. That's what I would do if I was you. Because that's what I do.
Okay.
Let these kids know that you have faith in them.
Okay, you guys. Hello? Hello?
That's exactly what I would do.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm actually coming in my car coming out the store.
Oh, that's a good guy, man. We appreciate that you logging in. Go ahead and finish, Mr. Lynch.
I know that's right. That's good news there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm still there. But you know what it is, man? What saddens me, man, is that, you know, I got friends who was only teenagers, man, you know, and some of them will never see daylight.
Right.
You know, some of them is not living, you know.
Let me ask you this.
They never had a chance in life.
The teenagers you see that don't have a chance in life, what are you doing for them? Let me ask you that.
Right now, you know, all I'm doing is pushing my poetry. I'm a spoken word artist, man. You can go on my page at you put Young Poets Incorporated. You can pull it up on Google. It'll come up.
Okay.
You know?
Are you creating jobs for them? Are you paying them to pass out pluggers to promote
I'm not doing any of that, but I can definitely take any link that's willing to write me, email me, or call me. I'm willing to work with any organization. I don't care if it's City of Detroit. It can be an organization in Atlanta, Georgia. It don't matter where the organization is coming from. You know, I just want to link with some organizations that are definitely out there putting footwork, you know, in the schools, you know what I'm saying, in the community centers, in the churches, talking to the youth, talking to the parents.
In order to work with the organization and the youth, like you just said, I asked you, what are you doing to work with the youth? I said, are you paying them to pass out your pluggers to promote your club, your organization? You said no.
No, I've been self-promoting, man. I've been self-promoting this for now for a couple of years,
Pay the kids, man. Pay the kids. Give them a little check, man. Pay the kids. Come on, man. Quit being greedy.
Okay, but see, my organization is not a physical organization. It's just a MySpace group, and it's an ideal. And if you go on to MySpace and pull up Young Poets Incorporated as a group, you will see my bio. You will see what you know I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? It's a message, you know. And I'm just one man, you know.
Hey, hold on one second. What's your name, Chief? What's your name, Port?
My poetic name is Jahlyric, Jahlyric. My real name is Stephen Sykes, man, from the city of Detroit.
Okay, hey. You be on our Facebook page, man. I want to just reach out to you and say thank you because you always on Me and My Ways page giving us much love, you know? Now, I want you to hold on, brother. I want you to hold on. We got another call for Jerry, and we're going to go to that call.
Okay, all right.
Caller, we on the air at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Caller, we on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you on there?
Yes, how
you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, all
right. You got a question for Mr. Lynch tonight? We're glad you called in.
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
Okay, we appreciate it.
I don't
What's
have
your
a
name?
Question. I'm just listening.
What's your name, caller?
Diane.
Okay, Miss Diane, we want you to keep listening in, and we want you to keep eating up this good knowledge, you know? We're going to go to one more call.
Good.
We're going to go to one more call, Brother Lynch. We might have another caller for you. Hold on. Go ahead and hit that, babe. Caller, you on the air. Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're on the air. Would you like to say something to Mr. Lynch tonight?
Yes, that was a bad call. This is me.
Okay, that was a bad call. Okay, then. Well, we're going to go back to Mr. Lynch, and we want to just say once again, we're glad to have him on the show tonight, and we're going to go to a song,
And we're going to get right back with my man, Mr. Lynch. We're doing our thing tonight, and we want all our guests to just hold on, be patient. We're going to go to this song and be right back.
Yeah, yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares. He's there for you.
Oh, keep your head up. Oh, hey, the streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
Raw boy checking in, let you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world, when I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listened to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love you back. I hear grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road.
Love you. Never
the streets
love
don't
you.
Love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
Love you.
Change the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink. And I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if he get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head, another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show their codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pod storms to day rooms to mess halls and wreck yards. You think you something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad. But going life or death ain't fresh and ain't gonna never change the past. Cause yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Projects, my man Chickaria, Warner County Projects, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And like we promised, we're kicking it with my man, Jay Lynch. And I want to get right back to you, Bud Lynch. Tell us what made you really get off into changing your whole format in 91, Jerry, and let the viewers know where you at today and how God changed your life.
Well,
I joined the fire department in 1995. You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you all the way.
Okay, I joined the fire department in 1995. And like I said, when my son was born, I decided not to be stuck in the fire station working all of that overtime, not being away from my son. That changed my life. And I can go back into the dope game and everything, but the bottom line is, man, I had to be there for my son and my wife and my family.
My man.
I had to, because I had a lot of people say, hey, Jerry, man, why did you stop cutting hair? I left that out. I was a barber for 12 years.
My man.
I stopped cutting hair and picked up another hustle and started working with computers, building them from scratch. Everything. And I got my degree in computer networking, network engineer. So I stopped cutting hair in 1991 when I met the minister, Mr. Farrakhan. I joined Nation of Islam in 91. That's what really changed my life, man, the Nation of Islam, when I met the Mr. Farrakhan. And he taught me how to be a family man and do what you got to do for your family.
And right, because the overtime is good, but, you know, you miss out on a lot of things, like you said, when it comes to raising your kids, being there for your kids, and showing them the way. So, you know, I definitely respect you went and picked up another hustle, because computers ain't going to keep you away from the crib. You can do that right at the house while little man running across the floor saying, Daddy, you feel me? And you're showing him the same thing. So I'm feeling that, Jerry, you know?
Exactly. So once I flipped that script, now I've been coaching his team for 12 years.
My man, my man. See, you listen to what you're saying, Jerry. You even watched him grow, and then you decided you wanted to get involved with doing something for the kids even more, and your son is on the Little League team too. So I can't do nothing but respect you on all them levels, man. And I feel if most men, period, I don't care what color they is, I feel if most men learn how to be a father, learn how to be a man, period. You dig what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of these cats out here because they ain't with the woman. They feel the kid don't need nothing. You feel what I'm saying? But the kids still need love. The kids still need guidance. The kids still need understanding. The kids still need to know the way. You feel me? And if you don't want to do nothing for your child because you and the mama don't get along, well, you should have never gave that woman that child, brother, because that's your responsibility as well as it hers. Do we agree with that or not?
You know what, though? I'm glad you said that, because I don't get along with a lot of firemen because they work all their overtime and spend that money not being wise. They spend that money trying to impress people. Then you got these brothers that turn around like, man, I'm struggling. They take overtime. They garnishing my check for child support. You should have been taking care of your damn son, your daughter.
Right. No courtroom have to tell you to take care of yours. You feel me? Now, I got to cut in on you on that, Jay. Should no courtroom have to tell no man that done laid down with that woman that you got to take care of yours, and this is what yours should get every week? Because you and the young lady who you laid down and had that child with supposed to come to the understanding, if you ain't with in that same household, well, you need to come to understanding with that young lady, well, baby, this is all I can afford every week or every month, or, you know, got to put that time in with that child. Look, I'm coming to get him every weekend, babe. I'm going to have my time, you have yours, but we both going to raise this child whether we together or not. And I think that's where the game done got broke down that long time ago with these cats out here, but they'll jump over somewhere else and trying to raise somebody else's kids and ain't doing shit for their own. You agree with that, homie?
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, now I don't respect no man like that. You feel me? You got to take care of your kids.
You can't be running over here trying to take care of Johnny and Juju and all these other kids, and you ain't even took care of little Johnny that's running over there you done had. You feel me? Now the court got to chase you now for a few dollars. You feel me? And the child don't know you, and all of a sudden you think this child supposed to respect you. How can a child respect somebody that don't do nothing for their mama or them? I mean, it just can't be no respect there, brother. You know?
No respect at all. No respect at all.
You know? And I think a lot of men need to recognize that, Holmes.
Yeah, me and my father didn't get cool till I was 25, right? And I was 40. And my father, like I said, he laid down a dope game for a lot of my cousins and a lot of my friends. And like I said, we didn't get cool till I was 25. I went and visited him in prison and told him, you know what? I came here to visit you to tell you that I can't fucking stand you. And after that, I had a long talk with myself and told myself, your daddy did, self told me, Allah told me, your daddy did a lot for you. He put the dope in these boys' hands and refused to put it in your hands. So quit being mad at your daddy.
Right.
He did you a job. He saved
your
life.
He did you a favor by not trying to put you in that lifestyle. You feel me? And, like, on your end, you have to respect that all the way, you know, even though he didn't put that time in. And, you know, I got something to tell you on that flip side. Every day I go through suffering every day because my oldest son been in prison there since he was 17 years old. You feel me? He's 31 years old now. And I put the game in his hand, which I hate I ever did that. You feel me? Because it resulted to him killing a man over $10,000, you know? So I live with that every day, you know, but that's the life I came from. That's the only life I knew, you know? It came to me at 9 years old. I mean, really came to me. It wasn't like I was sitting around cats or none of that. I was in it for real to win it, you know? By the time I was 18 years old, I was a multi-time millionaire, you know? So I was in it to win it for real. And when that's all you know, you intend on putting that down in your lifestyle. But I respect what you said when you say a man have to break that ball and chain, you know?
Yeah, you got to break
and
that
ball. That's what I couldn't break because that's all I knew to survive through the years. And as I got older, in my late 30s, you know, that's when I decided to break that ball and chain because I seen that the streets didn't love me back. Because your homeboy is snitching on you. You know what I mean? Cats, you know, doing this and that, you know. So when you think the game is what it is, you learn through the years that the streets don't love you back, man. And that's what I had to learn the hard way. You know, I grew up in Detroit, on the east side of Detroit, Brewster Projects, you know what I mean? I used to run the Warren and Connor Projects. You dig over on Warren and Connor, you know, Jeffrey Projects, Herman Gardens on the west side. So, you know, the game was nationwide with us, man, you know? So I respect that, man, all the way. So I live with with the decision I made to put in my son's hand, you know? And that's what I say about cats, man. You have to learn that ain't the lifestyle to put your children into. That ain't the lifestyle to even have them around. And, you know, everybody don't live to tell that story, you know? But I just thank God that he blessed me to live to tell my story and to write my book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and like I said, it's in several libraries across the country, and it's opening up young kids' eyes that game is washed up. There's no successful thugs. There's no successful drug dealers. There's no successful gangsters, you know what I mean? That's the oldest failure in American history, you know? Selling drugs is the oldest failure in American history. I don't care how you look at it. It's all a failure, bro.
You downhill. And like I said, man, I look at a lot of guys that, and everybody in the streets of, in the fucking city of Gary, Indiana, they know me. But you know what's the difference between me and drug dealers and gangsters? Jerry ain't never claimed to be a tough person.
Right.
I've never claimed to be a tough person, and I've never claimed to be a big-time drug dealer.
And that's what I respected about you, Jerry. From the day from the time you started doing this show, that's what I respected about you when you spoke on what you said. You know, you ain't never been no major figure in the game. You know what I mean? You hung out with cats. You know what I mean? You wasn't up on the radio show talking about I done moved 100 birds and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? You kept it 100. You did. You was around that type of atmosphere. You know what I mean? But the atmosphere you was around, you chose to get up out that atmosphere because you know sooner or later, you know, when your homeboys got knocked, you dig, you was right there with them, the game was going to fall right on you, whether you had the money, the drugs, or whatever, you know, because conspiracy, baby, that's a mother, you dig, once they get you on that, baby, you know? So
right.
You did the right choice and made a move up out of that, man. So that's something that I hope tonight that whoever listening to the show tonight, the youths and adults as well, you know, because you got these adults out here, cats 40, 50 years old, still trying to hang on the corner with their pants off their ass, and they need to be somewhere with their grandkids teaching them something, you feel me? But they out here still thinking they thugged out, you know, and that shit just makes me laugh when I ride through the hood sometime when I go back home in Detroit to see my mama and them. You go down in the hood, you see cats still on the corner, you done seen when you was young, and you looking at him, he's 60 years old, you like, man, what is you doing? You feel me? I mean, everybody makes mistakes, don't get me wrong, but goddamn, you still out here using dope after 20 years?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm looking like, man, come on, get serious, guy.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, take this out. I don't mean to cut you off, man, but I hope there's a lot of people listening that really, really, really want to know my lifestyle. Man, I had a serious snorting habit from 1988 to 1990. And people don't even really know that. And like I said, it's not a secret because I don't do that anymore, but I put that in my autobiography. I mean,
but that could have been a hindrance that tore your whole life down.
Exactly. Now they look at
me
now. They on the outside looking in like, he got it made. No, I ain't got it made. I'm finna sit up here and put some documentaries together with you, my man Rob. We finna make it happen, bro.
Oh, you know, mystery. Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's what me and the missus do, man. You know, we make life happen. Like I said, you know, in my lifestyle, man, you know, I done been around every drug you can name. But in my case, unfortunately, I never ever used any drugs. You know what I mean? I never smoked cigarettes, drank, none of that. You know what I mean? Because when I was coming up, like I say, the ball was handed to me when I was a real young kid, 9, 10 years old. And my whole mission in life, it wasn't no gold chains or no gym shoes or no gaiters or none of that shit. My thing was taking care of my mama, you know what I mean? And I still do that right to this day. So my mission was more strong and more heavy than, you know what I mean, the average cat out in the game, you know what I mean? Because I was taught right.
You know what you just said about your mama?
Yeah.
My mama living with me right now.
My man. You got to respect that, homie.
Hey, she went through a divorce with my stepfather, this and that. I'm taking care of mama. Mama been living with me for 4 years. So
There it is.
I'm splurging. I'm taking care of mama and my family.
You know, so, AJ, you know, we got 19 seconds left, man, and I want you to go ahead and give your shout-outs to any and everybody you want to give your shout-outs to, man, before we put closure on this. And I want to just thank you for coming on the show tonight, man, and spreading, you know what I mean, that message, man.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for having me on this show. I want to thank my brother Kevin Bradley, my sister Tori Lynch, my cousin LC, Big Ups LC, keep your head up. Tony Mitchell, that's my brother. We're going to do a documentary on him because he was Polk A's right-hand man in the
joint
here in Indiana. You know what I'm
my
saying?
Man.
Then, you know, we pushing Top Notch Hats. www.topnotchhats.com. You know,
there
I'm the high ball coach for Roosevelt, Gary Fireman. I done been through the struggle. I'm here now. All I can say, I'm in the position. I can't be stopped.
There it is, you know. And behind that, behind that, I want to just say, man, you know, we send out much love to you and your family, your kids, moms, and everybody, and wishing everybody a happy holiday this week, and happy new year to everybody that's listening out here on the radio show tonight. And for all who's listening tonight, when you get time and get off, we want y'all to go join the movement tonight at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.neem.com. So make sure you go join that, and also order my new book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Very, very must-read book out here, and definitely educating the youths, and want everybody to spread the word to the youths. And if you got your kids out here that's thinking that life is what's happening, we want you to reform to us, The Streets Don't Love You Back movement, because it's about uplifting out here. It's not about tearing down no more, you know? So let's all work together and have a safe new year. And here go my wife. She got to say her last words, and we want everybody to just hold patience for a hot second.
Okay.
Yeah, again, Jerry, we'd just like to thank you for being on the show, and we look forward to working with you in the future, and, you know, we'll get back in touch with you real soon. And just wanted to thank Steve for calling in and sharing with us what he shared, and we'd like to get with you in the future as well and work on some things. So get with us. And for all the other callers and listeners, we'd just like to thank you for tuning in, and join us again next Wednesday night and every Wednesday night, 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific Time. And you can log in to listen to the show also at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And then
look forward to the autobiography that you guys are going to do for myself.
That's right. What I was going to tell you too, Jerry, you know, you said that, you know, people don't want to work with people, you know, do autobiographies on people who are nobody. But, you know, we just watched the brand new movie that came out called Precious, you know, and she was nobody. I mean, she was just a little girl that was molested by her father. She got pregnant. She, you know, she grew up in the ghetto. She didn't know how to read or write until she was, you know, 16, 17, and she got put in an alternative school. You know, that is her autobiography. That is an awesome, awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, it's an awesome, awesome message. And it's something that happens, you know, more often than we even know. You know, people grow up and things happen to them, and it's not told until later. And it's through their autobiographies that, you know. Another movie that we saw recently was The Blind Side, about Michael Orr, the football player. You know, he was homeless, and he was involved in the, you know, the gang activity. His parents were drug addicts, and he happened to be taken in by a good family, but you know, nobody knew his story until just recently when they made the movie, the autobiography. So, you know, these people weren't known, but you know, now they are, and it's just, you know, it's just how life happens. You know, you don't really know, but if you get out there and write your story and put it out there, you know, then it becomes known, and if it gets into the right hands, then, you know, we're making money. but to share the story, you know, and it's just there's so many stories out here that that need to be told.
Yeah, you're right. And like I said, I'd like to thank you guys once again for believing in me and reaching out to me, and I mean, it's a blessing. We're going to make it happen.
Right. And that's what it takes. It takes teamwork. It takes people working together. You know, you can't achieve anything by yourself and be successful and happy. But if you, you know, work together and help other people and teach other people, you know, and just work together, then you're able to achieve a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, because I'd like to give one more shout out. My guy Tito came in town to visit me. And I want to give another shout out to my guy Tony Mitchell. This guy, he used to run the streets with my father, and I never knew that until I moved across the street from him. And that's my big brother. And I want to give one shout out to Tony Mitchell.
All right, there you go, Tony Mitchell.
You know, not only that, you know, my wife, Mrs. Mob, Sean Lynch. But you know. But you know what, though, on the positive side, we're going to sit down here, we're going to make documentaries, we're going to do these autobiographies, and we're going to make some money.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And hopefully, you know, educate people and teach people what not to do, you know, what mistakes not to make and how to change your life and how to get ahead and do the right things.
That's the key. That's the key. That's the key. You hit it on the head. And that's my motive. That's my demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, you know, trying to just teach the kids too, you know, that, you know, getting an education is the most important thing you can do right now, because, you know, with that education comes knowledge, and with that, you know, knowledge comes power, and that's the only thing that's, you know, that nobody can ever take from you is the knowledge that you have in your brain. They can take
that's
everything,
right.
You know, they can take everything material that you have, but they can never take your knowledge.
Never.
Never. So everybody has to remember to get that education.
I love your movement, and I'm 100% behind you.
We appreciate it so much, Jerry, and we look forward to working with you. We've got our time is up now, but we just, you know, we look forward to working with you, and we'll talk to you soon. We just like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas this week. Be safe, and we will be back next Wednesday night before the new year. And I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd, signing out for tonight. Just remember, the streets don't love you back. Good night.
That's right. Good night.
Boyd Records.
Hold.
Young Trucker.
In my life, wanna make a change, but they just ain't cool. Put some lyrics down, and now I'm selling legal dope. On the streets, trying to make that green, but it wasn't easy. Shit I was doing wasn't too set up on being sleazy. But I got past that stage, I had to bail. Living life was hell, but went 5 times in the county jail. That was a wake-up call, but did I listen? Doing grown-up things that extra change, sure ain't what you're missing. Boy, I can't help it, but sometimes I have to cry. Going through all these changes in my life.
Let's change. Change my people. life. Doing the right thing for our people, our kids. Stand up and fight for what you believe in life. So what we gotta do?